Well, it's that time of year again. Projects are in full swing, and you know what that means. You got to make that trip up to Jacob's Supply. Whether you're a contractor or builder, or you're checking those things off the to-do list around the house, now is the time to visit Jacob's Supply. Guys, listen to some of the crazy good deals they have going on right now. PVC decking for $2.99 a linear foot in 10 different colors. Composite decking for $2.35 a linear foot in 2 colors. Treated decking for $0.65 a linear foot. DuraLife composite rail kits available in select colors starting at $64.99. And don't forget the vinyl rail kits also available in stock. Need the fasteners? They have those too. Hidden or visible, clips or screws. Jacob Supply is located in Temperance, Michigan, but ships many products nationally too. So whether you're in-state or out-of-state, they're just a click or call away. Check them out at www.jacobsupply.com or call them at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978 or click the link in the description of this episode. Jacob Supply, your one-stop shop for products you need at prices you love. Hey guys, you got to join us at the Thank God for Bitcoin 2024 conference in Rocket Town, Nashville, July 24th and 25th. Last year was phenomenal, and this year is going to be even better. G.K. Chesterton once said, "I never discuss anything else except politics and religion. There is nothing else to discuss." Given how secular our current world is, this might sound strange. We can think of many things that don't initially seem political, but whether we recognize it or not, religion and politics define the playing surface and rules that govern our lives and actions. And money is one of the most powerful tools in enacting the wills of both government and God. Although we all use it, few Christians have a rich, biblically grounded, historically informed framework through which to understand what money is, and consequently the effect it necessarily has on how we think about economic issues. Well, that won't fly at this conference. We're talking stewardship, dominion, and the economics of glory with some of the biggest names around. Speakers include Michael Foster, C.R. Wiley, Dr. Ben Merkel, Dr. Glenn Sunshine, Nate Fisher, Jordan Bush, and many, many more. You won't want to miss this lineup. This is one of the most intellectually packed, theologically sound, and all-around good time conferences you can go to this summer. So go to www.tgfb.com. That's Thank God for Bitcoin, www.tgfb.com, and get your tickets today or click on the link in the description of this episode. See you there, guys. Christians, are you tired of just talking about starting a parallel economy and not doing anything about it? The Works-Based Conference is the catalyst you've been waiting for. Join us this June 28th and 29th at the Hilton in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. Engage with leading Christian thinkers like David Bahnsen, C.R. Wiley, Steve Jeffrey, David Reese, and Andrew Krapuschitz. They'll share invaluable insights on how to actively integrate your faith with your professional life in ways that really matter. These leaders are not just thinkers, but doers, shaping a Christian approach to business that makes a real impact. This event is more than speeches. It's a vibrant networking hub for Christian professionals and entrepreneurs eager to create substantial change. It's an opportunity to forge meaningful connections, explore new business opportunities, and collaborate in a faith-driven environment. Don't miss the highlight of our networking opportunities, the exclusive speaker dinner. This is a premier event where you can dine with our speakers and other influential guests, deepening relationships and discussing ideas in an intimate setting. We are also actively seeking partners who are passionate about building a Christian economy. If you're interested in collaborating or sponsoring, we'd love to hear from you. And make sure you join us for beer and psalms for some relaxed fellowship, and let's turn our faith into action together. So reserve your spot now at www.worksbase.com. That's worksbase.com, or click the link in the description of this episode and be part of building a dynamic Christian professional community. Let's move beyond talk, fellas, and start creating the change we want to see. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. Thanks for coming along on the ride. Appreciate you following us on social media, Dead Men Walking Podcast, and check us out at dmwpodcast.com. And we've also been thinking, what can we call the listeners? You know, deadheads are already taken. Jerry Garcia took that from us, so we can't go there. So if you got any ideas of what we're going to call the listening audience, we're taking those over the next few weeks. And if we pick your suggestion, something special is going to be shipped out to you. But enough of the shameless self-promotion. Let's get right into the episode today, because we have some returning guys that I absolutely love. I can't stress it enough, and I have on the podcast before, that They're the one of the reasons I do something like this each week on Dead Men Walking Podcast. I've been huge fans of theirs for quite a long while. Listen to their podcast, their ministries, read their books, follow what they're doing on social media. That is Sumpter, Knox, and Wrench from Cross Politic. How you guys doing, brothers?
Good, man. Thanks Good to be here. Thanks for having us. I remember when you first started. Yeah, I love that intro.
It was a great intro.
Yeah, you just got me fired up already. Well, but you. Man, you've got a great voice for this, and just seeing you grow over the years has been awesome, man.
And his pace. Well, dude, your pace is like whoa.
I'm a salesman and I got ADHD, so you know what I mean. Talk fast and let's get to the content, baby. And you guys always bring it. You know, and you guys on Cross Politic, if you guys are listening to this podcast right now, I'm sure you have heard of Cross Politic. If you haven't, pause this right now, go, follow, subscribe, get on Fight Laugh Feast, throw them a couple bucks, every month as well too, because that's the only way we build things is by supporting our brothers in the Lord like this. Preach, go check them out. There you go. So, but we don't want to just sit here and say how much we love each other, because we can do that at the conference next month. That's what we want to talk about. Boom. I want to talk about Fight Laugh Feast Conference. I believe 11th through 14th, if I'm correct. Am I saying the right dates there? I think yes. I'm coming down on the 11th. Okay. Politics of 6 days of creation. You guys always have great subjects, a lot of good speakers. Can we just dive right into it and give... First of all, there's still tickets available. If anyone's listening, they want to travel down to Kentucky or up or over to Kentucky, give them, you know, is there tickets available? And then give us a little overview of what we're going to be talking about for those 3-4 days.
Yeah, there's still tickets available. People can go to fightlaughfeast.com to sign up. This year, the topic of the conference this year is politics of 6 day creation. And also before
at,
you
can, at the Ark Encounter.
At the Ark Encounter.
The Ark Encounter, yeah.
Not just anywhere in Kentucky. I mean, it's
get it right,
at the life-size arc.
Yeah. And we actually also do a pre-business conference as part of it. You'll see the schedule, pre-business makers. We call it Business Makers Conference. And that is all on the schedule, and you can sign up separately for that. It's real cheap. And there's a number of things we're doing in between all this. There's after parties. There's where Greg buys first rounds of beers.
Oh, really?
Are you doing that this year? I think he said.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think we talked. I think he said, yeah, he's going to buy first round again.
Look, I love the look on people's faces when 200-400 guys show up to a bar, take it over, start singing psalms, smoking cigars. They have their craft beer, and people who are just there for a dinner go, "What is going on?" We've had lots of conversations with non-believers, and they go, "Where are you from? What are you doing? Why are you singing?" It's actually a great witnessing opportunity because you're in a public space, and you go, "Look, this is who we are, and this is what we do. We're glorifying God even at this after party." So proud to sponsor it and looking forward to it. And I just heard that you got Bonson for the pre-business show. Is that correct?
Yeah, David Bonson's coming in. He's speaking at 3:00 on the Business Makers Conference, and then we're doing a panel with all the speakers, all the business speakers.
Who are the other speakers for Business Makers?
You have Camden Spiller, and then you have
Heather, of Maddox Industries.
Yep, Camden Spiller, CEO of Maddox Industries, and then you have Heather, the CEO of Gibson Go, and her brother
coming? Okay, good.
Coming in. They're both their spouses are actually coming.
Nice.
And everything. And then David Bonson at 3 p.m. and then a panel at 4 p.m. So with the us, way we do our break with us.
Because I want to have a personal conversation with those people.
I know.
That's why
the only reason I'm there.
And here's what's crazy. These companies are awesome. I mean, yes. Gibson Go was called before Canadian Parliament for funding the trucker convoy.
Yes.
Like these people are
and
real.
And they killed it.
Yeah.
And they killed it.
And they killed it. But Canada Parliament and our country, America, didn't help them.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Unbelievable. I'm going to ask kind of how the sausage is made and answer it however you want, but I'm always astounded over the last 4 years of really kind of how I've been connected with you guys. You find speakers, theologians, scholars, political activists that are kind of they're up and coming. They have a little following, but it's like you guys get them right. And then once they connect with you, it's like they explode. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know, and Whitlock in his own right had stuff going on. He's being ESPN, but it's like some of these guys that you get, Bonson is like everywhere now. And it's like you guys get a hold of them 6 months to a year before they just became nationwide names. I mean, who's scouting your talent over there? Because they're doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, it's real easy. I know the secret of this. This is real simple. So let's just give an example. Somebody like Pastor Doug Wilson, who's been doing this for 40 years at least, like that. Well, all you have to do is go to the trash bin of evangelicalism, look over the edge, and then just grab everything that's in there, and you'll find all these guys.
I mean,
yeah, go look what you threw away. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even joking.
That's true.
I mean,
that's
the last time that Pastor Wilson was on the circuit for speaking conferences, speaking at conferences.
Ligonier, like what, 2003?
Well, no. It was, well, that was the earlier one. And then you had John Piper.
Yeah.
He was that's the last time that he was Desiring God Conference. That was it.
Yeah.
And after that, it just fell off. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, I mean, it blows my mind that he's not invited to a conferences, particularly ones that are dealing with worship, that are dealing with education, that are dealing with God's sovereignty. I mean, he's got 40, over 40 books he's written or something like this, probably got more. 40 more. No, yeah. I stopped counting
that
after that.
That was low.
But I just don't get it. And so for us, I think the first thing, way we started with this was like, you know, why don't we then make sure that everything we do, Pastor Wilson at?
Yeah,
whenever we
schedule a conference, we put Pastor Doug in. He gets two talks.
That's right.
As long as he's willing and able to do it, he's automatically got an invite to do two talks.
Yeah,
and then we form everything else around him.
Seriously. And you know what? The thing with David Bonson, I just one of the things that's really amazing to me is that Christians do a poor job of thinking about business. They do a poor job of thinking about engaging in the practical realities of the world. And David Bonson is one of those guys who has a lot of wisdom, and he, the way that he communicates with his people who are his enemies or people who he doesn't agree with, has been class act. And,
yes, true.
And you know what? And,
it's true.
And I've been so impressed with somebody who has his academic level. And I'm just saying this about myself because I'm around guys who are very intelligent, but is able to pander to people like me. Like, how do I get this? And he's willing to do that. And I think Pastor Toby labeled it so right the first time we really interviewed him. He said he's kind of like a Daniel or a Joseph, you know.
Yeah. He's in Pharaoh's court, in Nebuchadnezzar's court.
Yes.
But he's you know, really.
And now he's making his own court.
Right.
That's for true.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and there's just guys like that. And we, you know, one of the blessings about being around here is we get to be around a lot of people that people don't know or haven't heard of or are coming because we have NSA, we have Logos, we have so many beautiful things that are sprouting in Moscow that a lot of people don't know about. But these people have been working for years and nobody has really platformed them, I guess, in the beginning. And since God has somehow given us this opportunity, we're like, well, look, if people got all the big speakers at their conferences, that's great. We don't have the money to even afford those guys.
We're like to think of ourselves as kind of like Sherwood Forest.
That's right.
Or the Cave of Adullam.
You know, I don't know if you guys follow football, but I'm gonna call you guys my Detroit Lions of this year. You guys find the talent, you turn them into dogs, and then you set them out on the field for the glory of the Lord. So
because Detroit, man, they're looking good this year.
Knox is from Minneapolis, and you just offended him deeply, Greg.
I'm with America's team, but I get the analogy, and I'll take it. Okay.
Well, look, I'm glad you're giving credit to those speakers, but I just wanted to, for the listeners too, you guys have done a phenomenal job in building what you're building out there. And I love it when I see people go, yeah, I'm done with Shapiro. I'm on cross politic now. Sorry. Yeah. I'm done with, Walsh. I'm on cross, but they're the only ones speaking absolute godly truth. You could be conservative. You can be these different things and say you're pro-life, and I'm doing air quotes because even our pro-life conservatives have a real issue with abolition and things like that. And it's like, that's why you guys are growing, I think, and why people are attracted to truth. And I've said it a million times. So I really appreciate you standing firm on that. So getting back to the conference, tickets still available, October 11th through 14th, the Politics of 6 Days of Creation. I've said this before, but anyone listening, it is unlike any other conference you're going to go to. Okay. I've been to the National G3 conference. I've been to smaller conferences with James White and some of my Reformed Baptist friends. And I've been here and there. And I know Joel Webbin's doing some stuff, which Joel was a guy that came on early with you guys, and you guys kind of helped each other out there. Now he has a platform to speak, and
huge,
but it's different. White Laugh Feast is different. The psalm singing, the speaking, the subjects that we're talking about. You're not getting this in a suit and tie at some stuffy conference where you're sitting there for 9 hours a day and you're going, I can't take any more notes. It is like you're just getting bombarded with truth, and it's a fun, interactive way. It's obviously very deep and theological, but it's also godly and fun. Tell me what this conference is going to be. More of the same, I'm sure, but how are we getting into the politics of the 6 days of creation?
Hold on,
what are
man.
We thinking there?
No, you tell us. You're just doing such a great job of promoting. You tell what's going to be so good about this year.
Hey, look, I'm bringing down some guys that have never experienced you guys or anything like this. So my joy is when I bring brothers down like that and they go, what? You can do this. You can talk like this. You can have a camaraderie before in between, you know, with my Reformed brothers and sisters. And it's family. It's sound theological, doctrine. It's all these things. And then on top of that, I'm making business connections. I've sold houses for people I've met there. I've got a guy doing my marketing that was in your podcast booth. I'm buying coffee from people that show up there. Like, this is what it's about. And anyone listening that goes, where should I spend my hard earned money? There's 500 conferences a year. This one goes at the top of my list easily. I know G3 is happening in a few weeks. I went, no, I'm good on that one for now. And I'm not saying anything against them. I think they're two different types of conferences, but this one's a priority for me just because of those things. So I always look forward to the subject matter too, because I think last year was politics of sex, which was just what I needed, what everyone needed there, those talks. So what are we going to get into on creation? Is there anything we can argue about or differ about? Why is there politics in creation?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Covenant Real Estate. And why not? It's my podcast and my real estate company. But seriously, I've absolutely enjoyed helping clients buy, sell, and invest in real estate over the last 12 years. My brokerage serves clients in Michigan and Ohio, with more states coming soon. When I started this brokerage, I wanted to ensure that my expertise and knowledge would serve every one of my clients. I take my fiduciary responsibility to my clients very seriously. That's why I named it Covenant Real Estate. Not only is a covenant a contract in the legal sense, but it's also a solemn promise from myself to each of my clients. I will do my absolute best to serve you. It's also pretty cool that our name has some theological implications as well, which is a great conversation starter. And here's the best part. My agents and I have extensive experience in helping people buy and sell residential homes, buy and sell commercial properties, as well as investing in real estate and selling and purchasing recreational and vacant land. Covenant Real Estate can help you with all of your real estate needs, and I would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you have real estate needs in Michigan or Ohio, call me at 734-731-GREG. That's 734-731-GREG. Or click on the link in the description of this podcast episode you're listening to right now. Remember, Covenant Real Estate, confidence from contract to close.
Yeah.
What does it even mean?
The reason why we started off, the reason why we came up with politics of 6 day creation, similar like what we do with all our topics, is we think, man, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And then it's funny watching over the year how actually the topic builds up and it becomes more and more relevant over the year.
Yeah.
And God's kind in that way. But the reason why we chose politics of 6 day creation is because we are living in a world that is collapsing. From the evolutionary framework being taught and instilled in our culture for generations.
Darwin is the mind virus that's killing us.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's no mask for that.
And so what we have is, this Mr. Potato like science going on. For a long time is destroying our minds. And now you're actually seeing our kids like physically get destroyed now.
Right.
The Mr. Potato Head body parts are being interchanged. One kid can go from being a man and 6 months later they look like a woman, and they've cut off they've emasculated themselves and everything. And so I think the politics of 6 day creation is critical to humanizing our children versus destroying our kids spiritually, mentally, and now physically.
Well, and fundamentally, I think it goes back to the authority of God's word. And I think that's where we started. So we started with questioning. It's the age old demonic, satanic question: did God really say? But it goes back even before, like, did God really say don't eat the fruit? Did God really say let there be light? Did God really distinguish the waters above from the waters below? And did God really separate the waters from the dry ground? Did God really speak birds and fish? Did God really speak stars and the sun, moon, and stars?
Out of nothing.
Out of nothing. That's right. Did God really say let's make man in our own image, male and female? He created them. And did he really command them and bless them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth? Did he really?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did. Where's my money?
But I think, if we go fuzzy there, if we go, which is what the church did, and we need to lay this at the feet of the church, the Christian church said about 100 years ago.
Biologos.
And 100 years ago, bro. I'm talking about Presbyterians. Like, I'll be straight up honest. It was Presbyterians who started saying, it doesn't matter how God created the world. This is a metaphor for, you know, God. There's this.
It's a secondary issue. We don't need to worry about it.
It's a symbolic, whatever. Right alongside that, but as soon as you make creation symbolic and a metaphor and this sort of, it represents how I feel about whatever, then it's just, the same thing can be said about the rest of the Bible and in particular, the gospel itself. Yes. If God didn't create the world in 6 days, then Jesus didn't die and rise again on the third day. And what you do is, as soon as the more fuzzy you make that, then it's more fuzzy on what is the image of God? When does life begin? What is male? What is female? What is marriage? And then if you don't know what marriage is, you don't know what human society is. You don't know what justice is. It's all gone blurry and fuzzy and ambiguous. And so I think you can find everything in the first three chapters of Genesis.
That's right.
And it also goes back to the authority of God's word.
And Pastor, I just want to piggyback on what you just said, because I think this is the main reason. I've been really spending a lot of time restoring a biblical cosmology. And one of the ways that you know that people will actually say, well, yeah, you're right, but then they still operate in fear. We believe in the resurrection, but they're still fearful. Right. They're still fearful about the world because they don't really believe the reality of Genesis. They don't believe that the rollout of Genesis actually has implications on how the world actually functions.
Right.
Because of evolution, like Abe was talking about, our understanding of the structures of the world are evolutionary built. So we believe in the resurrection. We believe that God is saving people in the world, but we don't believe that the world functions in the way that God made it to flow, and this is what I mean by that. We actually believe, this is an evolutionary concept, that evil will win. We believe that evil and insanity.
We believe that the strongest will survive.
We believe that insanity is sustainable long term.
Right. But it's not.
But it's not. And so, this is what I'm trying to get at. This is why this event is so important. Because if we don't have a biblical cosmology, then we see stuff like the World Economic Forum, we see things like AI, and we see things like technology, and we become afraid.
Right.
Because we think that that's how it works, and we don't think that the world has a creation and a teleos, right? And so when the Bible talks in Proverbs and says, the wicked will plot, but they will fall into their own hole. Right. We don't believe that. Yeah. We get fearful and say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? But instead, we should be thinking, how is God going to take over Klaus Schwab and make the collapse happen of World Economic Forum?
How is God going to use AI to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea?
Come on, preach it.
Or simply just, even just in the power of the word.
Yes, right.
What is that line in Luther's hymn? One little word shall fell them.
Our Luther back there is so happy. Yeah. He's just like, hey.
There you go, bro. There you go.
Mighty fortress.
Right? One little word. Like,
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ is that word.
That's right.
Crucified, buried, raised from the dead. But it's the word of that gospel. And it's like, we have the nukes.
That's it.
Yeah.
We have the nukes.
Yeah, and so this is what I'm talking about. So there's not a whole lot of people talking about this issue like you guys are and doing a conference on this. Most people would go, why would we do a conference on an issue that, like you said, is symbolic? Because I'm going to tell you guys right now, cross-denominational, talking to believers, they don't have an opinion on the creation. They're very wishy-washy on it. I don't know. Maybe it's symbolic. Maybe it's every day represents a billion years and it's kind of evolutionary. Maybe it's literal 6 days. It doesn't really matter to my faith. When in fact, it sounds like what you guys are saying and what this conference is going to talk about, every single thing that we see that stands as antichrist right now, it probably relates back to the fact that you don't have a firm foundation on creation, his sovereignty, who God is, why he created man and woman. I mean, it makes perfect sense. So this, to me, this is exciting because we are in an area and a subject and you guys are attacking it from a certain unique way that literally I don't think anyone else nationally is doing in the Western church, which makes me excited because I go, there is a truth in there that needs to be explored, needs to be preached, and needs to be told to believers because we have zombies walking around on some of these issues that they call themselves believers. So this is the kind of stuff we're going to expect when we're looking at some of the sessions at the conference, correct? We're going to be talking about these things.
Yeah, this is I got to talk about my favorite session as much as I Pastor Toby, you should take your earbuds out and close your ears. I don't want you to hear what I'm about to say. When we did our first conference during COVID, I'm joking.
Okay.
I can't remember. We knew from everything that had happened from the beginning. Our conference happened in
2020
in October, was it?
2020,
we did it
2020.
Yeah. Love 2020 that October. And so we'd already started going through the COVID thing and the shutdowns. And so by the time we got to our conference, we knew the first thing that we needed to do was repent. Yep. Everybody had manifested that they did not know their Bibles. Yeah. Everybody had manifested in one way or another. They were afraid.
Yeah.
And so we knew the first thing we needed to do was repent. So Pastor Toby preached the opening talk. He basically just preached a sermon on repentance. Yeah. And I remember like, why are my eyes leaking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, we've kind of made it that that's what we're going to start at on every conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come before the Lord because when we have idolatry in the land, we have judgment. We have judgment. We need to repent of the idols that we have. And so everything is going to start with repentance.
Cleaning your
feet. We have not taken God at his word when he's been the creator. He's designed it, right? We've completely tried to argue even from, I appreciate science. I like science, but we need to argue. God has said, has said it. And that's enough.
Yeah.
And repent. And then you'll be able to believe, right? Yeah. Then you can get understanding. And so my favorite talk is probably going to be this one again, is every year has been the opening talk on repentance. And Pastor Toby has done a great job of getting us to understand our sin all the way down, right? Sometimes we get a generic sense of our sin and we're so happy to repent of those generic things. But every year, I'm always surprised at how well and how convicting it is at that sermon to hear like how much sin is down there that I need to repent of, you know? And so I'm looking for, that's one of my favorite talks, that one. And I'm looking forward to Joe Rigney as well. But I, without starting there, I don't think anything else matters. You know, if we don't get to repentance.
So, Gabe, I'm on the website. I'm trying to find the list of speakers.
That's right here.
How do I find it?
Right here. It's on the.
Where is it?
It's right under the main thing.
It's not showing up on my page. It just goes.
Refresh. And a good lineup that it is. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I wanted to see what their other talks are. Yeah. I can't find it.
They're all there. They're listed there, titles and everything.
There's only, there's all the shows and the
FLF
days.
FLF Network?
Yeah, FLFnetwork.com.
I
didn't go to events.
He is the pastor out of the three. I can tell.
Just wants my name. It wants me to put my name in and my email address and stuff. It doesn't.
Are you a Chiefport?
No.
You're not a member.
I don't know. I don't know what Toby's problem is. But Greg, the beautiful thing, I like the reason why we chose the Ark Encounter and this subject is because, for one, we constantly want to push a family-oriented conference.
Yeah.
We want parents there with their kids. And we pick hard topics. I mean, we picked politics of sex last year. We had so many parents emailing me saying, hey, is this appropriate for my kid? I was like, it's good. Bring your kids.
Nothing worse than what's in the Bible.
Exactly.
You know what? You got to talk about why it's political, though. Maybe Pastor Toby can
talk.
He's here now.
Oh, look.
It doesn't have all the talks.
It doesn't have Michael Foster up there yet. Michael Foster's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Foster's there, too. Yeah.
You got to talk about how creation is political.
Yeah, so, I mean, 6-day creation. I thought I already hit it, but basically.
I think you did, but Knox doesn't think so. So go ahead.
No, you didn't hit it.
It wasn't good enough, Toby.
Not for me.
So politics basically is the study of organizing society in obedience to God for the blessing of people, which means in order to do justice in the land, to have a magistrates, civil magistrates, they have to know that there is a God above them. They have to know that God's word is authoritative on everything it speaks to, and it speaks to everything.
Facts.
They have to know that this world is made in such a way that they can't fight it. Like if Darwin is right, then justice really is whatever you feel like right now. Sure. Justice mm-hmm. is like you can you know, sort of wield. You can try to exert force and pressure through mm-hmm. people or money or science or injections or whatever. And try to and sort of force a certain kind of utopian future. Mm-hmm. But if God is God and he made the world a certain way, then you got to follow the rules.
That's right.
Otherwise, yeah. you can't get blessing. Mm. And so justice, politics is the art of ruling well, of wielding power well, political power well, punishing evildoers, rewarding the righteous. But those are all categories. You have to know what are those categories. What is male and female? Mm. What is human life? When does it begin? How is it to be guarded yeah. and protected? All of that is resident again, and you know, and the fact that we have the fall in Genesis 3. I mean, that's part of ruling in a fallen world, recognizing you know, where sin comes from, the difference between sins and crimes, the jurisdictions that God has given to family, church, and civil magistrates. The seed form of all of that is found in Genesis 1-3, but I don't know if that's getting at what you're talking about.
No, that's exactly, that's beautiful. Amen. Yeah. That was
okay.
It.
Preach up. Okay. I'm just making sure.
And, all right. By the way, there's a round table yeah. there too. We're going to talk about Christian nationalism with, Stephen Wolf,
yep.
Joel Webbin yeah, and Pastor Doug Wilson. Yep. That's going to be,
that's going to be good.
That's going to be a really good conversation. Yeah.
That's our live show. That's our live show.
This Saturday the live afternoon. Show. And yeah, by the way, you know, one of the things we've tried to do is like, make sure that this conversation, we want to invite everybody to this conversation because this is a good yeah. one. The reason I know people are really frustrated, as well as I am, about the conversation on Twitter around Christian nationalism. But if you listen to what Pastor Toby just said, what he just said is an inescapable reality when it comes to politics. Everybody's doing it with their theology, whether they think they are or not.
Right.
They're
right.
either doing it well or they're doing it poorly. Right? Right. And that's why the conversation is feverish pitch, because we're saying, yo, if you get in, you will not honor God in how you do your politics, which will be bad for the rest of us. Right. And you will allow idols to rule over us, which if you know your Bible, we will be under judgment again. And so that's why this conversation really is important. So we can't just like, as much as I'm annoyed with the conversation, we can't run from it. Yeah. We need to lean into it.
I mean, our current theology, our current understanding of creation and the authority of God's word is what is currently in power.
Facts.
Like what we have in power right yeah. now is the fruit, the direct fruit of how the church has discipled
that's right.
Christians. And, yeah. and I mean,
in our country,
I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure that the vast yeah. majority of people who hold office in this land, have had time in church.
Yeah.
And they are, and many of them, will say they believe in God. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Many of them will say they're Christian.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't truly, but we are getting over and over again the fruit of what we have actually discipled them in, which for most yeah. evangelicals, unfortunately, is God doesn't really have anything to say. It's all these are little these are little emotional hits that we set to music on Sunday morning, and it'll give you a little spiritual orgasm, and then we're not sure what else, and then yeah. everyone else is being discipled effectively by whatever is in the air. Yeah. I mean, I just saw this morning, like there's a Covenant College is this PCA sponsored college, and they've got a new professor who gave the opening talk, and she's got her pronouns in her bio.
Yeah.
Like,
they're, oh my goodness, fail.
Like yeah. that's the flagship college of the PCA.
You know, it's broken there.
Yeah. And
their Genesis.
Yeah, I know. Day. Right. Yeah. And the PCA for decades, Presbyterian Church in America has accepted exceptions of their pastors where they say it doesn't matter if they believe in 6-day creation or not.
Yep.
And
I had a PCA pastor in Oregon who took that exception.
Yeah, right. And it's like, I'm not saying that the same person who takes that exception then goes on to mutilate children. But what I will say is that that exception over time in the air, in the water does.
Are you saying that
absolutely
can cause transgenderism too?
Oh yeah. am.
Not just Baptist, huh? Okay. All right. Breaking news.
I'm not
breaking
joining news. Our club anymore.
Send your hate mail to Knox.
All right. Let's bring this thing home, guys. Let's bring this thing home. I know you guys got stuff to do. So one last thing. Talk about the vendors just for a few minutes, and then we'll wrap up. Like, who's going to be there? I know you guys have I mean, like I said, crazy amount of Christian-owned entrepreneurs, small businesses, podcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have one of the best vendor sections of any conference I've been to. I would say the most unique and diverse, meaning I'm not going to get 19 book vendors, which there's a lot of books there, believe me, and I love it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I got social media stuff. We got coffee makers. We got guys who do construction stuff, guys, you know, marketing, all this different stuff. Tell the listeners they're coming down there. They're going to go buy their tickets right after they're done listening to this. What can they expect in the vendor section?
I'm going to get there, but I want to say one thing before I get there.
Yeah, sure.
One of the reasons why we chose the ARC Encounter was actually for the ARC experience.
Yes.
Ken Ham has actually done a fantastic job.
And he's going to give a talk at the conference.
And he's giving a talk at the conference Friday morning. And they do a great job presenting the historical, scientific, and gospel experience of what the ARC teaches us in scriptures.
Right.
We're actually, all of us, we've never had our kids come to the conference. We're all pulling our kids out of school.
Yeah. Bringing
the whole family to come to the ARC Encounter because of the historical, scientific, and gospel experience. That's what the ARC is. I mean, think about the historical implications of the ARC.
Right.
Think about the scientific implications of a worldwide flood.
Yeah.
And think about what God was teaching Noah in the damnation and salvation and deliverance of what he did through the ARC.
Right.
And it's about a 3-hour experience just to walk through the ARC alone.
Or longer
and everything. And so I can't wait for my kids to experience
this. It's a museum inside of a life-size ARC.
And then not even to mention the Creation Museum, which is about 40 minutes away, but we leave time in the schedule Thursday morning to go to the Creation Museum. It's just a great experience, spiritual experience for the kids.
I just want to add to that really quickly. Sorry, Greg, we don't answer your questions. We just do whatever we want.
No, you do what you want.
Yeah, but I just want to say too, I think one of the big things that we are also after is that the Christian church has fundamentally been embarrassed of Genesis.
Come on.
That's right.
We are cowards. Mm-hmm. We're cowards in the world, and we're cowards because we've let the world, secular biologists and physicists, mock us and say, you really believe in a worldwide flood with a big boat and a bunch of animals and a giraffe sticking his head out the window. And the Christian church has got to learn to say,
yes,
absolutely. Amen. I do. Amen. And there were two giraffes, you idiot. But we have to get over that. We have to get over the mockery. We have to get over it. And we have to recognize that God's word is true. If he created the world in 6 days, he created the world in 6 days. There was a worldwide flood. There was a big boat. It carried a new world into existence. It saved Noah and his family. It saved these animals. Absolutely did. And then trust him for the geology, the biology, the science, the physics, all of it,
the history,
and trust that he wants us to work through that so that we understand the way he actually made the world, history, science, and the gospel.
Do you have two talks this year or just one talk?
He's got a manifesto.
It goes together. But we've got, and if we're going to grow a backbone again, it's going to begin with people standing on the word of God and saying, yes, I do believe this. And any other questions?
Yeah.
And very quickly, if I can kick in there, I would just say, just do a little bit of study. Understand what the word kinds mean. Understand in biology when we're talking about kinds of animals, macroevolution, these type of things. The average Western Christian is absolutely ignorant on these things. And this is what I hope Ham is going to talk about. And when I go through that museum for the first time, these kind of things I see, because I see his videos and things, he's explaining these things. We let the secularists and the atheists create story. Like you said, the little felt Noah with the giraffe out there in Sunday school. And that's as far as most Christians go. They don't understand entry-level biology, entry-level astrology, entry-level earth sciences. And it's like, if you look at that and then look at the Bible, because our 6-day creation, literal 6-day creation, actually has more scientific, archaeological, biological evidence for it than anything an evolutionist can give me. Now, I'm not an evidentialist. I'm a presuppositionalist. But if you want evidence, it's on our side. Amen. And we need to get fired up about that.
Ready to go, Greg. Where's his word?
Give Greg an
oven. God, Greg.
Dr. Gordon Wilson from Riding the Dance is also going to be there.
Yeah, let's go.
He's a biologist. Yeah. He's going to be bringing it. So anyways.
About those vendors.
Let's finish up with those vendors.
Let's go.
So we're very strategic and very intentional
on the
vendors we want at our conference, because we really want everybody doing business with one another. We're Cross Politics dealt with cancel culture these last 3 years, and over YouTube, to Vimeo, all these other places, Facebook.
I love you guys.
And we have to build an alternative economy. I mean, that's just basically what's going on. This doesn't mean that non-Christians can't work with us. By the end of this, we will be the economy.
Christians will be
working with us by the end, because they don't want to put up with cancel culture, so forth. So our vendors include, you know, Nexus. Our vendors include Greg. Greg's going to be actually doing a bunch of podcasting from his booth at the conference.
Yeah.
Our vendors include Page 50 Marketing, Red Balloon. We have about 50 vendors. Rowdy Christian Merch will be there selling some great merch. I actually don't have any on right now. New St. Andrews College, Greyfriars.
Yeah.
We actually got the seminary, what we call, it's a ministerial training program, but that both me and Toby went to. Our Greyfriars program will be there also vending. And so Roman Rhodes will be there. They're selling Gordon Wilson's book on the essentials of six-day creation, which is going to be a necessary
Darwin's Sandcastle.
Yep, Darwin's Sandcastle. We got about 50 vendors there, and they're really good people. Awesome. And we'd love for people actually – save up a little extra money and send it their way, because there's a good economy developing, I think, in these next 20 years.
That's a really good point. Economy. It's not, you're not going to go there and it's not 50 t-shirt vendors. It's guys like, oh, I own cloud space. And you want to get off Amazon and put your content here. You're never going to get canceled. Oh, I transact digital money. You don't want to use PayPal. So they're giving to drag queens here. Come. It's a Christian. So like, there's so many things there in that economy. That's why I just wanted to mention that, because if anyone's listening, that is a decision maker at your business, own a business, influential sphere of influence, whatever it is. If you get down to this conference, you're going to have a plethora of different vendors that you go, okay, how do I build something for the kingdom with these guys? Because that's who I want to partner with.
So, and Greg, one other thing too, the Business Makers Conference, you're going to have guys who handle billions of dollars.
That's right.
Speaking at the conference, who have hired hundreds of families,
you know, and you're going to have guys who are connected with, other free market businesses like Red Balloon.
Right.
You know, I don't know of any other thing that's like this altogether. And we've tried to do that on purpose, because our other brothers are doing a great job working about preaching the gospel, working on churches and getting other doctrinal things taken care of. Praise God for that, because we need all of it. What we're trying to do is say, where are these people at who are going to be working inside of kind of the secular realm? Right. And how what are our real life needs?
Square.
And thank you. I think there's a better word for it.
Yeah.
The public square. And how can we give these services to people who are going to be there? So if you have a business, write it off. Come and go to this.
Yeah.
Bring your family and write a whole thing out. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know it. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on. TJ, Chocolate Docs, Gabe. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your day. I know you're busy, and we will see you. I will see you next month. At the Creation Museum at the conference.
Thank
you for having us, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. If you have interest in coming to this conference or connecting with these guys on social media, I'm going to link all that up. So all you got to do is just click the link wherever you're listening to this or watching this from, and you can get right access to them and to the tickets for Fight Left Feast. Guys, we appreciate you. We appreciate the support of the show. As always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at @RealDMWPodcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubTV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None of your biscuits.